So one of our very first classes to talk about the neutral witness, and this is Aratima. So why is it so important to awaken the neutral witness or the observer at the center of the mind? And what is it really? It's the point of neutrality in your field of attention. It's the seer that can witness an object or a situation without attachment to it. Or the other way around, when we're not attached, we are in a state of neutrality, which is awareness, being aware of something without liking or disliking the object of the attention. There's really no preference. Once we realize that amidst all the movement through the field of time, which is always the case, perceived through the senses, there's actually exists a piece of us that is changeless. The rest of us is always moving through time. There's always something to be perceived. But there's something that is perceiving all of that. And what is that? I even have an image for it, which I like the analogy of the old vinyl record. If you remember those records that you put on a record player, and the only way you could put it on the record player or your parents, because you probably don't, maybe you don't remember or never saw them, because the center of the vinyl has a hole and the music is in the grooves of the plastic of the vinyl. So the emptiness, the hole in the center, is just like the neutral point in your mind. Your mind is filled with memories and impressions. And we need to find that one spot that gives us the ability to observe it from, to retreat from all these impressions and memories to find peace and rest. Otherwise, we would just go crazy, go round and round and round and round, which some people do, and I can't get off the thinking and restless mind. And in order to really see what is going on, we have to kind of step away, because when we're going round and round and round and round, we are only in a place of reactivity. We don't have any ability to make conscious choices. We're just reacting. So we have to have a true chance to see things for what they are. It's a clarity that comes from sitting right in that center and is free from past judgment. It's really the only spot from which the totality is fully recognized, because when you're in the center of that vinyl, or in the center of the mind, that's the way I'd like to describe it, because it is actually just the beginning of when we start out to work with this. Essentially, there is no center anywhere, because the center is everywhere, but that's too complicated. So this is a very good experience from or starting point from when you are very embroiled in life and you're caught in thinking, you are identified with the person that you are and your mind is full of thoughts. Then you can retreat into the center. So there is this actually an experience of the center then. So at some point, the seer, the center, is claimed as your identity. And when that happens, then you're liberated and free from the mind's activity of judgment and division. The mind always divides things in this and in that, here and there, now and later, and etc., etc., dark and light, right and wrong, the chair, the couch, up and down. We begin to reclaim our true identity as a first step, and that is activating the neutrality into our lives. It's one part of the core, of the entire core, because besides the mind, there's also feelings, but we'll get to that later. So first of all, in order to navigate the emotions that are chaotic and very non-linear, non-analytic, their emotions, we have to have a strong center point. So it begins as a sharp and steep journey, and Why is this? Because the witness or the seer is uninvolved with life. So it has to be some kind of decision, some clarity to say, okay, I'd like to actually step out and really see life for what it is. I also want to know, who is this one that's seeing? Who am I really? Am I this situation? Am I that which people judge me to be? Or am I that which I myself judge myself to be? And what am I really? I'm changing. And what part of it is actually also painful? There's a lot of things that are very painful. There's things that are pleasurable, but everything's changing. So who am I really? The witness, the seer, is uninvolved with life. It has no ability by nature to like or dislike something. And it feels quite different to be in it, to be it. Different to the usual mechanics that we're used to. The witness does not take any sides. It's non-judgmental. It's useless in consolidating a personal identity. It's really not what it does. It helps actually in eliminating those pieces and structures, these programs. That's why we want to slip into that center, so that we can actually let those structures fall apart. Because as long as we're in the grooves of the mind, we keep blowing energy into it like a balloon, and we make it very real, and they stick around. So the seer is completely impersonal. It's really what most people think of as our spirit, but it is actually the center of the mind, the eye of the hurricane, the stillness, silence, emptiness. It might be new and unusual for you, but maybe you've been in it already. You know it, but have you identified with it? Do you live in it naturally, on autopilot, always? Is it hard for you to actually even be involved in the mind's activity in the old way? If not, that you need to deepen the neutral witness. It has to become your grounding platform on the mental level. So the habituated nature that has become so conditioned to function as an either or needs to become lessened. We need to less identify with that, because that's the one that keeps us stuck in a roller coaster of suffering. All day long, we compartmentalize every feeling, every thought and sensation within ourselves. This is habitually done. And we do this same with people and objects and events out there in the world, filing it as useful or not useful in order to maintain and consolidate and support that familiar identity we have chosen. You know, like some people say, well, you know, I don't do windows. This is not what I do. I don't do this. I do this. So this is a choice. And not that these things aren't going to remain, but they have to become fluid and not stuck. And the only way things can remain fluid and go with life and adjust to always this ever-present moment, this ever-present now, is to be in the center of the mind. So like the record, so that you're just kind of flowing and flowing and a nice music comes about. You know, we have deeply actualized Descartes, the philosopher that said, I think, therefore I am. So we think and we are that. But that's not neutrality, and it doesn't serve our evolution of becoming what we really are. We all know that the identity we cherish so much does not remain intact anyway. And we've gone through a few models since our childhood, and most of the model transitions were done through suffering and pain because we didn't learn to flow with the changes. You know, just think about puberty, times of your teenagers, how difficult it was for yourself. And also our society accepts it, that it's a norm that these changes have to be hard and painful. Menopause is another one. But does it have to be like that in the light of this discussion? Does it have to be? It doesn't. Our identity has become an object that needs to be maintained or changed in a controlled way. And that takes a lot of energy. You know, in fact, we need to go to sleep every night to get away from our identity that costs so much energy to keeping it intact. If we look very carefully, where and what is it anyway? The whole point is not that having an identity is a bad thing. Rather, you know, the question is, do you want to have the ups and downs in life? Do you want that to end and find yourself happy, balanced, finding true purpose and fulfillment, and realizing maybe who you really are? If that is so, then cultivating neutrality is an invitation to live without the familiar feeling of control, but to gain true self-control. The self is the neutral witness, an aspect of the self. So the question is, how do we get to live from the observer's point of view? And does it mean that life will have no zest and it will be just boring? So far, the spice in life that we had came from the continuous ups and downs. And isn't that what everybody's doing and what we're taught to do? But maybe you've come to a place where this has become very painful. Nowadays, times are changing and it is required to be a bit more fluid. So it's going to be harder to maintain an identity and more pain will come up. That will be a signal, the pain, the suffering. I'm talking really about the suffering, not, you know, physical pain. I mean, pain is part of a sensory expression of a signal of some sort that is biologically useful. I'm talking about the suffering. So one day, you might notice for yourself that when you finally have a happy day, inside of yourself, you're already staging your next drama. Have you ever noticed that? The happiness you're experiencing is not a true happiness. It is somewhat empty. It's rather an excitement and has an opposite. It is interlinked and based on an opposite. So when you are that kind of polarized happy, it has an opposite, which is unhappy. And because we're aware of it, that it has an opposite, we usually, there's a pattern to actually stage the next drama to flip to the other side. If you're very conscious, you've maybe already noticed it. Or you're not trusting the happiness. You're thinking, oh, will this remain? Probably not. And you destroy it. That's very common. It's interlinked with the opposite. And to be whole, you can see it from the center of the mind, that you want to balance it out. So living with neutrality means to not suffer anymore and to reclaim your divinity, really, which is the inherent natural happiness we are all drawn to experience in life. If we look at the nature of neutral witnessing, we can see easily that a non-biased view contains all there is to see, not just half of the vista. And so everything is being experienced. But it just feels quite different when you are open to experience seeing the whole and not a partial reality. So neutrality is a way of having it all. It's not boring. It's not neutral, like a neutral color. That's the way the mind labels it. Not at all. It's this moment when you're in flow, when you're present, when you're here now, you're in the zone. We do not prefer only one side of the coin. You know, by giving up staring at only one side, we gain the other that we might not like, we hate or even fear. But by doing so, we gain much more. We gain not two flat sides of a coin, but the coin itself. So by giving up happiness and unhappiness, you are gaining yourself, the source of happiness, the source of that particular experiences, those experiences. There's a wealth in that. We gain a third way of being in life, because neutrality is a stairway out of a present situation. So when you're stuck, how do you get out? Neutrality is the doorway out. It is a vertical reality we access and identify with. We use the neutral witness as the doorway and plus an elevator into the next floor. It is really an elevator. It goes straight up. It's all or nothing. And later we're going to talk about deeper levels of that, which is samadhi, states of absorption, and that is being in neutrality in the flow is a part of that, is a form of samadhi, a very low one, but it can get deeper. There is the space between here and there, the gap between perception. But we need to give up our cherished point of view, the need to be right, the need to suffer. We have to trade it for a larger whole view where everything is always here and present. So we have to let go from being controlling in life to living the dynamic state of becoming. In order to start living from the center point of the mind, we must commit to doing so. So commitment is important, first step. Also understanding, why should I do this? So we talked about it. Otherwise, we will remain in the habitual polarized dynamic of identification with the experience and not the experiencer itself. The commitment is towards wanting to know who's actually having this experience, which takes us to the act of claiming our divinity. It's a bold step, really. I am divine, and what is that? Who am I really? You don't know who you really are. You can never really know through the mind. You can be it, but you can at least say, I'm not this experience. Who is really experiencing this? By making a small shift in the field of attention, we are confirming our divinity. So we are not inquiring here, but actually changing the experience of our identification. So this might appear at first somewhat silly and useless, dropping a beloved attachment or desire by remaining an uninvolved watcher. You might ask, what's the point? And the point will only be grasped when we have recognized and understood the nature of life in motion, and when we decide to not want to remain caught in a never-ending cycle of this and that. And it's, like I said, the foundation to more, but this has to be really strong. So look at it as a beginning of something. We have to come to see that while we push something away that troubles us, we pull the same experience towards us. You see, it's a cycle. We're either in the center or we're outside at the rim. We have to see that we're actually trapped. And this might not be so obvious if years or decades or lifetime lie between these cycles. But once we arrive at the moment of, oh, I've had enough of this treadmill, I'm not going anywhere, then we're ready to stepping off. And neutrality is the stepping off the treadmill. We are outside the mind's dynamic. We considered life. And now what? What kind of life lies outside the treadmill? Well, it's a life of freedom, ease, bliss, and true creativity. Inside the system of push and pull, true creativity did not exist. It cannot. We can only react. Now we can move from reaction to action. So neutrality is part of the experience of the enlightened self, an aspect. It is the anchor of the self in the world of polarities, of the likes and dislikes. And in order to free ourselves from this world, we need to replace it with a new anchor. We need to be strong and hang on to something outside the familiar, the known. And the deepest healing cannot come about if we are not grounded and anchored in this witness, which is the only true constant within the mind. So we begin to dissolve the deeper belief system so far that we can ground ourselves on that new space. And we have a replacement to hold on to. In that way, we can let go of the old identifications. So as you begin to identify with your neutrality, you find yourself noticing that life is moving through you. It is a different experience suddenly. You're not attached. You're not completely identified. You're not in reaction. You're not suffering. You're beginning to notice there's a bit of a distance. So, but yet again and again, you will find yourself attached again, and you feel that you're stuck in thought and situations, and you have this sense that they're so important and real. That's really what happens when you are attached, with this usual feeling of being caught in blame and in judgment and worry and anger, and but essentially mainly blame and judgment. This will happen over and over again. But as you allow life to be the way it is, with time you will find yourself being more often in flow and less attracted or repulsed by life. It's going to be more an acceptance for life for what it is. You have become more surrendered to the moment at hand. And witnessing doesn't mean that you're actively watching yourself doing things. If that happens, you want to really forget about that. You're not splitting yourself. But occasionally that might happen. Because you're just about to learn about it. You're just in the process of learning. And all you actually really need to do, how you're actually slipping into that place of neutrality, is that you are noticing your suffering. You're noticing that you're identified with something. You're caught. It's all you need to do. And that's the noticing. There isn't a creation of an artificial space between the witness and that which is being noticed. That's not what is asked of you. It's much, much simpler. So this is actually also the beginning of samadhi. We've used this word initially, a term, and a Sanskrit term that is a state of absorption, where you are very absorbed within yourself and your own nature. There are different levels of that, and it's the luminous state of freedom of itself. And the more we are that, the more that happens within our body and heart, big changes take place. Healing naturally begins, that restores the natural function to all your systems, because you're not stopping the energetic flow. It cannot crystallize anymore, the energy, because only judgment and identification with the energy we're holding on, we're touching it freezes. That doesn't happen, so it just keeps flowing. So there is a beautiful side effect of healing that takes place. In nature, all energy must move, and what stagnates will begin to harden, to rot, to decay, to die. So being in your witness allows for the flow of life in your whole body. And in this way, we begin to slowly eradicate the idea of being a body, identifying, relating to a body as something separate. And the fear of death that comes along with it, which is really an underlying energy in everything that we consider a problem. You become more and more comfortable with fluidity. The ground you stand on will not be the illusionary stability of material structures, but you come more close to the experience of scientific truth that life is in constant motion. And even more than that, it's really made out of nothing, as all atoms are really not solid at all. And that's not what the mind thinks what a nothing is, because it contains all of existence, this nothingness. So through neutrality, we begin to identify with the changeless spirit, our true divine essence, our pure potentiality, and neutrality is the doorway to it.